Part 5.
Your brother, Ernest! He arrived about half an hour ago.
What nonsense! I haven't got a brother.
Oh, don't say that. He is still your brother, even though he has behaved badly in the past. You mustn't be so heartless. I'll tell him to come out. And you will shake hands with him, won't you, Uncle Jack?
This is very happy news.
Since we were just getting used to his departure, his sudden return seems very distressing.
My brother is in the dining room. I don't know what it means. I think it is perfectly ridiculous. Good heavens!
Brother Jack, I have come from town to tell you that I am very sorry for all the trouble I have given you and that I will behave myself better in future.
Uncle Jack, are you going to refuse to shake your brother's hand?
Nothing will make me shake his hand. I think it is disgraceful that he has come here. He knows perfectly well why.
Uncle Jack, do be nice. There is some good in everyone. Ernest has just been telling me about his poor invalid friend, Mr. Bunbury, whom he goes to visit very often. There must be much good in Ernest if he leaves London to sit by the bed of an invalid.
Oh, he has been talking about Bunbury, has he?
Yes. He has told me all about poor Mr. Bunbury and his very bad health.
Bunbury! Well, I don't want him to talk to you about Bunbury or about anything else. It makes me furious.
Of course, I agree that I used to behave very badly, but I must say that I think Brother Jack's coldness towards me is very unkind. I expected a better welcome, especially since it is the first time I have come here.
Uncle Jack, if you don't shake hands with Ernest, I will never forgive you.
You will never forgive me?
Never, never, never.
Well, this is the last time I shall ever do it.
Oh, it is a pleasant to see a perfect reconciliation, is it not? I think we should leave the brothers together.
Cicely, you will come with us.
Certainly, Miss Prism. My task of reconciliation is over.
You have done something beautiful today, dear child.
We must not say these things too soon.
I feel very happy.
You young scoundrel, Algy. You must get out of this place as soon as possible. I don't allow any Bunburying here.
I have put Mr. Ernest's things in the room next to yours, sir.
What?
Mr. Ernest's luggage, sir. I have unpacked it and put it in the room next to your own.
His luggage?
Yes, sir. 3 large suitcases, a small suitcase, 2 hat boxes, and a large picnic basket.
I'm afraid I can only stay for a week this time.
Merriman, order the carriage at once. Mr. Ernest has suddenly been called back to town.
Yes, sir.
What a liar you are, Jack. I have not been called back to town at all.
Yes, you have.
I haven't heard anyone call me.
Your duty as a gentleman calls you back.
My duty as a gentleman has never interfered with my pleasure at all.
Yes, I quite understand that.
Well, Cicely is a darling.
You are not to talk on Miss Cardew like that. I don't like it.
Well, I don't like your clothes. You look perfectly ridiculous in them. Why don't you go upstairs and change? It is perfectly childish to be wearing black clothes for a man who is going to stay in your house for a whole week as a guest.
You are certainly not staying with me for a whole week. You have got to leave by the 4 o'clock train.
I certainly won't leave you while you are in black clothes. That would be very unfriendly.
Well, will you go if I change my clothes?
Yes, if you are not too long. I never saw anybody else who took so long to get dressed and with such uninteresting results.
Well, at least that is better than always being overdressed like you.
If I am occasionally overdressed,
I make up for it by being extremely overeducated.
Your vanity is silly. Your behavior is outrageous, and your presence in my garden is ridiculous. However, you've got to catch the 4 o'clock train, and I hope you will have a pleasant journey back to town. This Bunburying has not been a success for you.
I think it has been a great success. I'm in love with Cicely, and that is wonderful. But I must see her before I go and make arrangements for some more Bunburying. Ah, there she is.
Oh, I came back to water the roses. I thought you were with Uncle Jack.
He's gone to order the carriage for me.
Oh, is he going to take you for a nice drive?
He's going to send me away.
Then we have to part.
I'm afraid so. It's a very painful parting.
It is always painful to part with new friends. It is easy to bear the absence of old friends, but even a short parting from someone whom one has just met is extremely painful.
Thank you.
The carriage is at the door, sir.
It can wait, Merriman, for 5 minutes.
Yes, miss.
I hope, Cicely, I shall not offend you if I tell you that you seem to me to be perfect in every way.
I think that it is very good that you are so honest. If you will allow me, I will copy your words into my diary.
Do you really keep a diary? I'd love to look at it. May I look at it?
Oh, no. You see, it is just a young girl's record of her thoughts and impressions. And, of course, it is going to be published. When it appears in the form of a book, I hope you will buy a copy. But please don't stop, Ernest. I enjoy writing things down from dictation. I have got to perfect in every way. You can go on. I am quite ready to write down more. Oh, don't cough, Ernest. When one is dictating, one should speak clearly and not cough. Besides, I can't spell a cough.
Cicely, ever since I first looked at your wonderful beauty, I have loved you wildly, passionately, devotedly, hopelessly.
I don't think you should tell me you love me wildly, passionately, devotedly, hopelessly. Hopelessly doesn't make much sense, does it?
Cicely.
The carriage is waiting at the door, sir.
Tell it to come to the door next week at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Uncle Jack would be very annoyed if he knew you were staying till next week at the same time.
Oh, I don't care about Jack. I don't care about anybody in the whole world except you. I love you, Cicely. You will marry me, won't you?
You silly boy, of course. We have been engaged for the last 3 months.
For the last 3 months?
Yes. It will have been 3 months on Thursday.
But how did we become engaged?
Well, ever since Uncle Jack told us he had a very wicked younger brother, you, of course, have been the main topic of conversation between myself and Miss Prism. And a man who is talked about all the time is very attractive. And I fell in love with you, which is probably a bit silly of me.
Darling. And when did we become engaged?
On the 14th of February. I was unhappy that you didn't know I existed, so I made up my mind to decide the matter one way or the other. After thinking about it for a long time, I decided to accept your proposal of marriage. I decided that we were engaged, and so the next day I bought this little ring for you to give me, and I promised you that I would always wear it.
Did I give you this? It's very pretty, isn't it?
Yes. You've got wonderfully good taste, Ernest. It's the excuse I've given you for leading such a bad life. And this is the box in which I keep all your dear letters.
My letters? But my own sweet Cicely, I have never written you any letters.
You needn't remind me, Ernest. I remember very well that I had to write your letters for you. I always wrote 3 times a week, and sometimes more often.
Oh, do let me read them, Cicely.
Oh, I couldn't possibly let you do that. They would make you far too conceited. The three that he wrote me after I had broken off the engagement are so beautiful and so badly spelt that even now they make me cry a little when I read them.
But was our engagement ever broken off?
Of course it was. On the 22nd of March. You can see the diary entry if you like. Today I broke off my engagement with Ernest. I feel it is better to do so. The weather continues to be very pleasant.
But why on earth did you break it off? What had I done? I had done nothing at all. Cicely, I am very hurt indeed to hear that you broke it off, particularly when the weather was so pleasant.
It wouldn't have been a very serious engagement if it hadn't been broken off at least once. But I forgave you before the end of the week.
Oh, what a perfect angel you are, Cicely.
You dear romantic boy.
Do you promise that you'll never break off our engagement again, Cicely?
I don't think I could break it off now that I have actually met you. Besides, of course, there is your name.
Of course.
You must not laugh at me, darling, but it had always been a dream of mine to love someone called Ernest. There is something about that name which inspires confidence. I pity any poor married woman whose husband is not called Ernest.
But, my dear child, couldn't you love me if I had another name?
But what name?
Oh, any name you like. Algernon, for instance.
But I don't like the name Algernon.
Well, my own dear, sweet, loving little darling, I can't see why you don't like the name Algernon. It is not a bad name. In fact, it is rather an aristocratic name. Half the fellows who get into the bankruptcy court are called Algernon. But seriously, Cicely, if my name was Algy, couldn't you love me?
I might respect you, Ernest. I might admire your character. But I would not really want to spend very much time with you.
Cicely, the clergyman here is, I suppose, a very experienced man?
Oh, yes. Canon Chasuble is a very learned man. He has never written a single book, so you can imagine how much he knows.
I must see him at once about an important baptism. I mean, on important business.
Oh?
I shan't be away for more than half an hour.
We have been engaged since the 14th of February, and I only met you today for the first time, so I think it is rather hard that you should leave me for as long as half an hour. Couldn't you make it 20 minutes?
I'll be back in no time.
What an impetuous boy he is. I must write about his proposal in my diary.